But the Lord Jesus came from glory, became the God-man, and for 33 years he walked in this world a sinless walk. And he fulfilled all righteousness, and he gives that to you, that you are no longer under the condemnation of the law, but he gives to you his righteousness, that you might walk no longer in sin, no longer after the flesh, but in the Spirit. And so you're called to a new walk, and our Lord Jesus is worthy.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gollaher, and I trust that today the Lord will draw near and bless. We continue with part two of the message, Jesus is Worthy, the Reason to Serve and Honor Him. Revelation chapter 4, that's our message today. We also have our hymn, I Surrender All, by the Whitfield Choir. Our question and answer is first, and the question is, how does the Lord call men to particular tasks in Christian service? That means tasks that are definite to the individual. In many ways, this is a hard question because there can be many variables. As we learned yesterday, we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. And in all our ways, we're to acknowledge him. And God promises that he will direct our paths. But how does this play out for the student going to college, preparing for that first-time job, or the one who feels called to missionary work or pastoral work, but has no idea where the Lord may lead? And that is the truth. We don't have any idea what God is going to do with us as we prepare for his service. Jonathan Edwards had no idea that he would be voted out of his church and yet be the instrument of revival. George Whitfield had no idea when he first took to open-air preaching, because the established Anglican church locked him out of their pulpits, that God would lead him to preach to thousands in the fields of England as well as up and down the eastern seaboard of America. Likewise, Paul the Apostle had no idea that by going on his missionary trips to Asia Minor, that he would be called across the Aegean Sea to Philippi, the first ministry of the gospel in Europe, and that he would go as far as Spain with the gospel. And that is what it means to have a life of faith and trust in the providence of God who leads us along step by step. He tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But that does not mean that we know that we the end from the beginning. Think of the apostle in Asia Minor with a vision for that country to take the gospel to every city and hamlet around its mountainous terrain, the land that we now know as Turkey. When he was resting up in Troas, God spoke to him in a vision in the night. The Bible record goes like this. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Paul wasn't even thinking about Macedonia. He had no burden for those areas. God broke into Paul's life and suddenly called him away from that former work of evangelizing Asia Minor to a more expansive work in the land of Macedonia. You will know of the outstanding converts in the city of Philippi, Lydia, the devil-possessed girl, and the Philippian jailer. All these and countless more converts were brought to Christ as a result of that Macedonian call. The important thing to note is that Paul the Apostle obeyed the call of God at each stage of his life. There is the key to knowing and doing God's will. We wait on him. When we're not sure, then do nothing. When the call of God is loud and clear, then it is time to obey. Drop all and go. Only by doing so will you remain in the will of God. God is still on the throne. He gives no new revelations beyond the 66 books of the Bible, but he does break through into our lives to prompt, call, and push us into his will. We're to pray that the Lord of the harvest will thrust forth laborers into the fields which are white unto harvest. And God does that. In those major steps in life, God will call and thrust you. He will shut you up so that you can do nothing else but obey the will of God. When the clear light is given, there will be no more joyous, happy, and blessed experience than to know that you are right in the will of God. Even when the going is tough, God's call will be enough. Even when the fruit is wanting, confidence in God's will not leave you wondering. There is a Macedonian call for you. There is some great pressing gospel work saying, come over and help us. It might not be the mission field. It may be that local church which needs gifted, energetic men and women to carry on the ministry of Christ in the community. It may be to teach a Sunday school class. It may be to help that elderly friend who needs an hour of your time per week or per day to get through the chores of life. There's a call to each who will obey the voice of God. Lastly, I would point out that God didn't call the lazy man who was out of work to go to Macedonia. He called Paul, who already had many irons in the fire. God so often calls the busy man or woman. So get busy in the Lord's work, and you will find that new doors will open up. The Lord Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, my friend, here is the secret to the very particular will of God in your life. Obey, get busy, and God will open and close the right doors for you. Stay tuned with us now as we turn to Revelation chapter 4. The Lord is worthy of all our service.
And all who are united to the Lord Jesus and all who have trusted him as their Savior, all who are washed in his blood, all who are whose names are in his book, will reign with him. He's king. We will be his subjects. We will take our crowns and lay them at his feet because he is worthy, worthy of our worship. And today, you are called to a renewed consecration, a renewed dedication, to take that thing that would come between you and the Lord and lay it at the Savior's feet. He's worthy of our worship. He's also worthy of our walk. In this new year, we're called to walk with our God. It's a high and a holy calling that we walk not as the Gentiles walk in their unbelief and in their blindness. It is a calling that we walk as a Christian, as believers, as the sons of God, sons of light. And therefore, it's a holy walk, and it's a spiritual walk. It's to live in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you turn to Romans chapter 1, chapter 8, and verse 1, you will see that this is how the Christian is to walk. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And there is this great call to the Christian to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
And verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." What more have you to do with sin if you're a Christian? What more have you to do with the death sentence of this world if you're a Christian? Did you not know that you are dead with Christ and were also risen with him? This is a newness of life. We're to walk that new and walk of the Savior. You'll notice in verse 3 that our Lord Jesus already walked in this way. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." When we were under the law as sinners, the law was crushing us. It was the law of condemnation. We could never reach that holy standard that the law of God demands. And every time we took a step in the walk of our lives, it was a walk of condemnation. It was a walk of judgment. But the Lord Jesus came from glory, became the God-man, and for 33 years he walked in this world a sinless walk. And he fulfilled all righteousness. And he gives that to you, that you are no longer under the condemnation of the law, but he gives to you his righteousness, that you might walk no longer in sin, no longer after the flesh, but in the Spirit. And so you're called to a new walk. And our Lord Jesus is worthy. He's also worthy of our steadfast walk. We're called to be consistent and steady. And you'll notice that the Lord always calls his disciples to follow him. Doesn't send us forth. He asks us to follow him. He goes before his sheep. And he doesn't ask us to do a thing that he hasn't done himself. He's worthy of our steadfast walk. Noah walked with God. And for over 100 years, he was called upon to do a very difficult thing. To build that ark, to save his family, to be a preacher of righteousness in a mocking generation. And we're told that Noah walked with God. And God does call his people to do hard things. You can't get an omelet without breaking the egg. That was a little devotional in Grace Gems yesterday. Maybe you get those. You can't get an omelet without breaking the eggs. And sometimes Christians think that you can have it easy and get through this world with the least and still walk with God and serve him. It can't be done, because the Lord calls his disciples to walk in his will all the way home to glory. And this table reminds us of this today, because we're to remember till he come. And your walk is till on that day when the Lord returns. And you're to keep plowing that straight furrow for God. You're to keep on bearing reproach for Jesus' sake. Keep on in the walk in the Spirit, not after the flesh, that you may bring honor and praise to the name of the Lord. And bless God, one day we shall walk in white. We're told in Revelation 3:4 about Sardis, the church that had not defiled her garments, and that they will walk with the Lord in white, for they are worthy. I wonder today, are you determined that this year you're going to walk with the Lord? Are you going to say, it's not worth it? It's not worth being a Christian. It's not worth the reproach. It's not worth the discipline. It's not worth the effort and the energy that it demands for me to live the Christian life. I'm going to throw in the towel. If Christ is worthy, and if we can sing with these saints in heaven, worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, then we must walk with him. And we must be found worthy in our walk.
If I can be of any personal help, if you would like to receive CDs of these messages, magazines, a copy of Matthew's Gospel, perhaps you have friends, family you'd like to share these with, we have a number free of charge, courtesy of Trinitarian Bible Society. And, of course, we would love to help you with having you joining us here at our church services, viewing our webcast by computer. And all this information you can get at our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, or call us at 604-576-1091. The address of our church, for those who wish to visit or meal, is 18790 58th Avenue, Cloverdale, BC, V3S1M6. We look forward to having you. Trust you'll stay with us for the rest of the program and for the announcements at the close. We'll give you these details again. May the Lord bless you today through his word from the pulpit ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church. Yes, you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and now in just a few seconds, we're going to turn to our message, how the Lord is worthy, and His worthiness means that our worship, our sacrifice, is worth it. Whatever it costs to be a Christian, it is worth it. Stay tuned as we turn to our message here today.
Lastly, let me speak to you about the Lord being worthy of our witness. This new year is another opportunity of witnessing for the Lord Jesus. The year that has gone by, perhaps is a year of regret that we did not witness more for our Lord Jesus. We started out the year to distribute booklets into this community. I think we approximately gave out about 1,000 copies of A New Beginning to homes in this immediate area around our church. But what are they among so many? 1,000 homes visited with a gospel booklet, and some, in some cases, an opportunity to talk and invite them along to our church. That booklet, which is called A New Beginning, it used to be known as Christ is the Answer. The answer to men's guilt, to men's misery, to the distance and estrangements that men find themselves from God. Our Lord Jesus is worthy because He is the answer to the sin plague problems of men all around us. He's the answer. This society is going from one notion to another notion to try and find some way of lifting itself up. But if you're a Christian today, you know that Christ is the answer. And therefore, He is worthy of our witness. He's worthy of every attempt we make to spread His name in our community. When you bear witness of the Savior to sinners, you tell them that the Lord Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of men's trust. He's worthy of men's confidence, for He does bring eternal life to a lost soul. And we can preach this gospel anywhere where men need to be saved. We could go into churches and we can preach to those that may have heard God's word for years. Christ is worthy. We can go to the down and out, the man who has lost his shirt in the business or in the sin of this world. We can preach Christ is worthy. Or we can go into the graveyards, follow the funeral procession, and we can say to men and women who weep over a loved one, Christ is worthy. Because He's the resurrection and the life. He brings eternal life to a lost soul. You will never be ashamed of witnessing for the Lord Jesus. You'll never be ashamed of standing up for Him and introducing men to the gospel of the Lord Jesus, because He's worthy. I read a true story about a boat sinking in the River Thames in London, England. When that boat was sinking, there were many people drowning. And two men in a smaller boat were tying up at a bank. One heard the drowning cries of the people. The other man could not hear, and he went home to his family. The man rowed out, and he saved some until his boat could take no more. And at the inquest, he was asked, what did you do then? He said, I cried for a bigger boat. I could take in no more people. And as we think of the great need and the perishing souls around us, our cry to the Lord for this new year has to be, Lord, give us a bigger boat. Give us the means and the opportunity that we might see men and women saved. How shall we have a bigger boat in the year to come? John Hyde, the missionary to India, was known as Praying Hyde.
His power as a soul winner was due to his Christ-likeness. He was a Christ-like man. And God always honors and blesses those that are most like the Lord Jesus. And perhaps this is our downfall. This is why we have such a small boat. This is why we can do so little for our Lord. Because we feel when it comes to our worship, we feel when it comes to our walk, and therefore we feel when it comes to our witness. If Christ is worthy, and he is, if he is worthy of our glory, honor, and power, then we must be like him, that we become witnesses for him. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And some people say to me, but I don't feel that I'm worthy to go out and be a witness for the Lord Jesus, or even to speak a word for him. Well, of course we're not. There are none of us worthy, but the Lord Jesus is. Speak of him. Tell of his glory. Tell of his honor and his power. Tell of his grace to sinners, for he is worthy. Are we, even to some degree, like that heavenly church? Do we find that our Lord Jesus is worthy of our worship? That means we will come at every opportunity, take our place to enter in to this holy act of praising and worshiping the Son of God, that we will be here at every time the door is opened, and that we will bring others that they might also worship him. And then our walk, if Christ is worthy, it will change your walk, will change your daily living, and it will make you a witness. You cannot but speak of him, for he is Lord. I trust that this message today, text that the Lord has laid in my heart, will become precious to you. And this will be your worship, your walk, and your witness in the year to come. Please take this to heart today. And let us, as a church, reflect the heavenly saints who sing such a song, Thou art worthy.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on the station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.